And I am now joined. Let's go stereo. We've got stereo microphones. It is Dennis McIntyre. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Morning, Paula. Delighted to be here.
Fantastic. Lovely to see you, as always. So, today we're talking about this incredible summer school, but maybe we'll start off a little bit. Introduce yourself, maybe. I mean, I know you're a friend of Near FM. You're on with us a little bit. So, for any of my listeners, maybe, that are not familiar with your work, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do as Dublin North Bay Tourism Director?
Yeah, well, I'll start from the very beginning, Paula. Mm. I drifted into Clontarf from the west of Ireland way back in 1974.
Yeah.
As an impressionably young teacher. And I'm the type of person that has to get involved in any community in which I live.
Mm.
So I decided to start researching, you know, the history of the area, the North Dublin Bay area, particularly the Clontarf area. And he ended up, you know, publishing a history of the area and that. And I felt that those of you, particularly who know the North Dublin Bay area, I felt it was never, you know, developed properly for tourism.
Mm.
So I got an interest in doing just that, developing it for tourism. So we set up, eventually, Dublin North Bay Tourism. And that's where we're at the moment, trying to bring footfall, sell the area, get visitors in, tourists alike. And you mentioned the summer school earlier, later in the summer, in June. Part of that development is opening a new summer school for the North Dublin Bay area.
Yeah.
Open to everybody, of course.
Yeah. No, but we've got such an incredible area out here that really needs to be promoted. You know, Dollymount and all this kind of, the Bull Island and...
Yeah, well, I take the whole Dublin North Bay area from the Customs House.
Right, okay.
The window Customs, right in.
Okay.
Because actually, when you travel from the Customs House to Howth,
yeah,
all on your right hand side, but it's practically all reclaimed.
Mm.
So you're in fact walking along the sea and part of the sea,
yeah,
what was the sea. Now, as you say, the attractions just are numerous, very numerous.
Oh, God, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people don't know. For example, you mentioned the Bull Island. When people, a stranger, it's all right for us who live near, close by it and we know, when you look at the Bull Island, you say, sure, that's only barren desert. You know, some sand dunes and that kind of thing. Which is, you know, you don't realise the importance of the ecological importance it has.
Yeah, all the wildlife and stuff out there.
Even, you know, the north inner city, you say, oh, well, sure, that's, you know, deprived and all the rest of it. There's so much more when you dig deeper.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So between that Cousin House, Howth, out along Clontarf, Sutton, into Howth, we want to develop the whole area. And, of course, the ultimate aim would be to have a heritage centre which would contain, you know, a myriad of information on all aspects of the area so that the stranger coming into the North Dublin area would be able to visit a centre, find out its history and so on, find out what's going on, and, you know, we'd be able to send them on their way.
No, but it's crazy that there isn't a heritage centre already. Like, why is it? Is it just purely money, down to money? The old...
Well, of course it's down to money, really. But I suppose, certainly the northern part of the North Bay area, say from Clontarf out, would be regarded as what I'd call comfortable country. People maybe weren't hungry.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But maybe things have changed a little bit. And I'd not have any dig at Fáilte Island, because they're very good people. But they've tended to keep tourism in Dublin in the city centre.
In the city centre,
I mean, if you draw a horseshoe, if you put your compass point on Trinity College and draw a circle around up by Leinster House, round Dublin Castle, down to O'Connor Bridge, GPO probably. You know, it's tended to be kept in there. And it's a pity because, well, you'll always have tourists in the city centre. It's going to be a mecca for people. But go outside that circle. And I'm not just saying the North City area, talk generally. There's so much in the suburbs and surrounds, you know.
Yeah.
North City area, you needn't even finish at Howth. You can go on to Malahide and out along the bay to Skerries and Portrane and even into Balbriggan. So that's, we'd like to develop that style of tourism.
Yeah, it's crazy though. You know, when you talk to tourists about, you know, what do they say Dublin is? And, you know, it's Temple Bar and it's Trinity College and all this kind of stuff. And it's, you know, it's a shame that there's...
And that's good too.
Yeah.
But there's so much more.
Yeah,
now,
definitely.
If we just go into it a little bit, if you come along, say, from into Fairview area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that Fairview alone and the Merino area, you know, it's so steeped in history. If you go back to our famous 1916 Rising and that, it was in that Fairview area in St. Matthew's Park.
Right, okay.
that the volunteers drilled and another building further up along Phillipsburg Avenue called Croydon House. It was there that they drilled openly, and there was a famous incident called the Howth Gun Running, where Erskine Childers, the president's father, in his yacht, the Asgard, landed some guns, quite a number of guns,
a few guns,
at Howth, and it was from Fairview that the volunteers marched up the Malahide Road and out to collect the guns and bring them back in again. And there was an incident involving that particular episode at the Crescent in Fairview. Now, those of you who know the area, the Crescent is a little road, very, very historic road, little area that a street that joins the Howth Road with the Malahide Road.
Yeah, Bram Stoker connection.
Bram Stoker's home. Well, apart from Bram, when the volunteers were coming down the Howth Road from Howth with the guns, there were about 2,000 of them thereabouts.
Wow.
The forces of the state forces, then the British forces, were waiting for them. And what happened was the volunteers saw the barricade, if you like, at the end of the Howth Road, so they turned into the Crescent.
Right.
To get onto the Malahide Road, but of course the troops moved to the Malahide Road then, so a kind of a skirmish took place. But the volunteers won the day in the sense that their leaders, they parleyed with the army leaders and the RUC, the RIC, and sent back the words to the rank and file of the volunteers: disappear with the guns while we were talking. And that's exactly what happened. They went over.
Bit of misdirection.
Yeah, we were talking about open country that time, and they disappeared into the fields. And around the what is now the Christian Brothers place, the general led, where our summer school is taking place, and they hid the guns in safe houses and so on. Now, it was more than a colourful incident. It gave the volunteers, you know, the courage, confidence, that they could actually do something. They did this in broad
daylight. Being part of everything. Yeah.
And people believed in them. They were training up to then with hurley sticks instead of guns. So, you know, it was a major incident in many ways, towards Irish freedom, if you like. Now, going away from that, you mentioned Bram Stoker. Well, I won't go into that now because we'd be here until...
We will be here forever.
Until Christmas. But that very street, Little Crescent, is a very historic street. Bram, as we said, was born there, number 15. And we'll be walking the area, by the way, in during our summer school in June. There's another incident... of interest, of note, among many in that street, and one I'd like to recall. It involves the famous Eamon de Valera, and he went on a tour to America at one stage with Harry Boland, his right-hand man. They were both promoting the Irish Republic and fundraising. But they ran into some Russian Bolsheviks who were also having a hard time in Russia because of the funds and all that. But anyway, they parleyed with the Russians. And Boland and De Valera lent the Russians $20,000. Now, when I heard this, that De Valera, of all people, to lend anybody a penny, never mind.
That would have been a lot of money, wouldn't it?
Well, especially if you know Mr. De Valera, he wouldn't be the most, what we call in Irish, the most flahula.
Well, yes.
So, anyways, the money was given. And in collateral for the money, the Russians gave some of the crown jewels. Now, how these people had Russian crown jewels in America is another story. Anyway, when De Valera and Boland came back to Ireland, Boland had the crown jewels, and they were hidden in the basement of that Bram Stoker's house, where the Bolands were now living. Now, they remained there until, those of you who know your Irish history, this was about 1920.
Yeah, yeah.
And when the Fianna Fáil eventually came to power in 1932, the jewels were still there.
Wow.
And it wasn't until they were stored, taken by Dev into safekeeping, but it wasn't until 1949 that the jewels were eventually repatriated to Russia, and they got their 20,000 back. But it was in the basement fireplace in that house, number 15, that...
That's crazy they were there for that amount of time.
So, I mean, if you go on out along there, you have the famous casino. I'm sure a lot of people are casino. That was built by Lord Charlemont. You know, these are gems that aren't known. And it looks from the road, the casino, from the Malahide Road.
You can see it.
It looks like kind of a doll's house. But there's actually 17 rooms in that house. And it has wonderful architectural features, such as, you know, you see kind of columns holding up the house. They're actually drain pipes. They're hollow in the middle.
Really?
You know, and the chimneys are like urns.
Right.
And it's a fabulous place. Lord Charlemont, of course, did own the whole Fairview area. And the Merino... Charlemont, in his youth, was sent on what was called the Grand Tour, which was the type of thing British aristocratic kids did as part of their rite of passage, if you like. And he spent something like 10 years in travelling Europe, particularly Italy, although he wouldn't be very much a Catholic, but he spent a lot of time in Rome, and he loved what he saw in Rome and the architecture and so on. So when he came back, he called his estate Marino after a little town near the papal residence in Italy called Castel Gandolfo.
Wow.
And he called it Marino, and he built the casino, you know, sort of as a show off house for a start,
yeah,
to entertain his friends. But he wanted to match Italian architecture, and he did have an Italian architect design it. So again, that's one of the gems in this area that's very, very hidden.
Yeah.
And just one more, and if you keep moving north, the next big one would be Clontarf Castle, you know, which has a huge history.
Yeah.
That area around Clontarf Castle, those of you again who know the area, on Castle Avenue, there's an old graveyard there, which many people don't know. It's kind of hidden away, but it's a very ancient and a very historical cemetery. Now, that is where Christianity first came to the Clontarf, the north side. 550, a guy called St. Congal opened a little monastery there. Now, after that, the Vikings came, and they took over, and then the Normans came and they took over, and the Normans built the castle. So it has all aspects of...
A bit of everything. So let's talk a little bit about this summer school, Dennis. I mean, it sounds absolutely incredible. I mean, what does it take to even put... How did this all come about, the summer school?
I'm a kind of an old hand at summer schools because I've taken a great interest in Bram Stoker and Dracula.
Yep.
And again, when we started tourism, we said we need something sort of to hang our hat on.
Mm.
And I thought, well, why not start? When I was writing the history of Clontarf, I didn't know who Bram Stoker was.
Yeah.
And I realised I was doing famous people in a chapter on the famous people in the area, and I came across Bram Stoker, and I said, Bram who? And I realised that where I was living at the time, I was only a kick of a football
away from where
he lived. I said, this is our guy, I said.
Yeah.
He's written the biggest selling novel ever written in the world.
Some little old
the biggest
book
story.
That no one's ever heard of. There's,
at this stage, there's a 1,000 films.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
Dracula himself is the biggest fictional character ever created. He's as big as, Santa Claus early.
Yeah.
you know. Yeah. And so I started to run Bram Stoker International Summer Schools.
Mm.
Now, they ran very well for that's going back to probably the 1990s.
Right.
And as the years went on, things changed. We had a lot of American visitors, but 9/11 changed a lot of things. Mm. You know, Americans didn't travel as much.
Yeah.
And then, of course, COVID came along.
Yeah.
So that kind of... we weren't allowed to hold it during COVID for a start. So in some ways, this is a resurrection of the Bram Stoker Summer School, but it's a North Dublin Bay one, as distinct from Bram Stoker. We will have a Bram Stoker lecture and talk.
Yeah.
But the opening talk, by the way, is on the Clontarf's two islands. Now, a lot of people didn't know Clontarf. When you say Clontarf Island, people say, oh, that's the Bull Island.
Yeah.
Well, there was one before that.
Wow.
And the Bull Island, in fact, Clontarf was like an offspring, an island, because it had Clontarf Island, which was washed into the sea eventually in a great storm, and the Bull Island replaced it. So the summer school, you know, there was a guy, I forget his name now, but he was the doyen of summer schools in Ireland. And he used to say, the summer school is not for the gown, it's for the town.
Mm.
So we hope that we will have a bit of the gown and a bit of the town.
Yeah.
So interesting talk. And I love the location. Again, many locals, even people who live on Griffith Avenue, don't realise this famous building that's on Griffith Avenue. It is now the Marino Institute of Education.
Right.
And it's a college of Trinity College, affiliated with Trinity College. Now, the building is building or buildings. Magnificent, you know, it's like being in St. Peter's Square in Rome nearly, and it goes back to the late 1890s, turn of the century, and it was the generalate of the Christian Brothers, which means it was our headquarters worldwide, and it was there that the brothers were trained and so on, and they had a teacher training school, and the generalate eventually moved to Rome because because of the changing nature of the brothers themselves. So nowadays the generalate is the Marino Institute of Education.
Right.
And it trains teachers and a lot of other courses. And when you go in there, it has a lovely atmosphere. You know, it's a kind of a hallowed place.
Yeah.
And
history.
It's very much so, much so. And it's off Griffith Avenue, which is, if you know Griffith Avenue, it's lined with beautiful London plane trees.
Yes.
And in summertime, it's a gorgeous setting, and we're going to be in there for our summer school. And of course, as I say, it's for the town as much as the gown, so it's open to everybody, and I mean everybody, young and old, to attend our mini events.
Yeah. So I mean, what sort of demographic is this? Is the summer school aimed at? What kind of people would come to this?
Well, we hope everybody. Now, I'm a great believer in locals for a start.
Yeah.
And the first thing you'll see on our programme is, in fact, a talk by a former professor from Maynooth University, Colm Lennon.
Mm.
And it's on the famous two islands I mentioned,
yeah.
Clontarf Isle. Now, that's very interesting. Locally and in the development of Dublin Bay generally.
Right.
So anybody with an interest in Dublin Bay or that, these two islands had a huge influence on the, you know, the Bull Wall and all that.
Yeah.
And shipping and that. Lecture like that should appeal to across the board.
Mm.
You know, to appeal to locals, to appeal to academics, to appeal to seafaring people, people around the docks area, and of course international visitors. We'd hope.
I mean, local history is so, like, everyone is very interested in where they come from and, you know, their local area and stuff. And it's great that you have these, you know, people talking about the local area, stuff that you might not necessarily know as a, you know, as a local person.
Yeah, well, I often say, Paula, that especially in Ireland, who are taught history, and the way I was taught history, it's too long ago to remember now nearly, but you were taught about certain events, but it always seemed someplace else, far away and long ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was in Sligo, say, for example, the Battle of Clontarf. Actually, that's way up in Dublin.
Yeah.
And you learned about round towers and monasteries and so on. But people forgot to say, look on your own doorstep.
Yeah.
And that's what we have been pressing on this particular programme, and I've been with Neil FM for a number of years.
Mm.
To, you know, history is very much on your own doorstep, and particularly in this North Dublin Bay area. So that would be a big part of our aim with both the summer school and North Dublin Bay tourism in general.
Mm.
And again, I think I said this earlier, but our bottom dollar would be to try to have a heritage centre.
Oh, yeah.
Where we'd have a mountain of memorabilia.
No, I'm surprised we haven't got one already.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't make sense.
Especially in an area like this, yeah. Well, it just hasn't been a priority.
Yeah.
And
which kind of says a lot, doesn't it?
Well, incidentally, if there's any business or somebody in who'd be in a position to help us, please contact us. What we're lacking is some kind of a place, a home, a building.
Mm.
We have the hard work done, the research and the collection of memorabilia.
It's just about
finding a place to put it. And believe you me, we have some wonderful stuff. I personally have a Bram Stoker collection that would match anybody anywhere in the world. I believe it, Dennis.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how long does it take to put something like this together? I mean, what's the planning like for something like this?
Well, it takes time. You pick your dates for the start early in the year.
That's the thing. How do you even choose when to have it?
And we thought of July. We thought of August. August tends now to be very much a holiday month, and people
starting. Everyone's on holiday. Yeah.
So we thought, you know, halfway through June would be as good a time as any, because colleges and schools haven't broken up.
Yes.
And, you know, the venue is very important too. And I'm lucky dealing now with some of the people in MIE, Marino Institute of Education. So the place was available.
Yeah.
They were interested. So we got together, the usual committee meetings.
Yeah.
And contacted people that we would like to be to perform or speak or whatever.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely the programme came together. Now, I'd like to emphasise that we have a lovely musical bent to this as well. We have two musical items, and I really would tell anybody interested in choirs or music in general, on the opening night, which is the 14th of June, Friday, at 8:15, we have the Dublin Airport Singers. Now, they're very well-known international
group. They are,
And they're very, very good. They really are. Personally, you know, the Lord was giving out voices, I'd be last in the queue. but I still appreciate a choir. And it's a great chance to hear them. Now, not alone just to hear the choir, but it's where they are. There's a beautiful little church right in the heart of the buildings.
Oh, the acoustics,
Yes, it's called the Sacred Heart Church.
Right.
It was the old church used by the Christian Brothers 100 years ago. And it's terrifically atmospheric. And that's where the choir will perform. And it's open to everybody. There's 160 seats, but I have a feeling they'll be grabbed up pretty quickly.
Oh, yes.
That's
definitely
a chance you won't get very often. So, again, I'm telling people now who are interested, contact us and be there. The other musical aspect is with a group of Ciolthas Ciolturi. That's the traditional Irish music groups.
Okay.
This particular group are called the Sean Tracy Group, and they're very well known as well. And they're going to perform on Saturday at 4 o'clock there. And again, wide open to anybody for a start, but particularly people into the Irish, traditional Irish music and that. They're very good. They don't just sing and that. They demonstrate each instrument. They tell you how to play the harp, the flute, and whistle, all that kind of thing. Very educational. And they do it voluntarily. And they love doing it. So, again, to show that it's not totally academic or anything else, we have the musical end of it included.
Mm. So how does it work? Do you buy a ticket for the weekend? Can you get a ticket if you can say, "Oh, I can only make the Friday"? Can you do, or is it like a whole thing, or can you just do parts of it?
There's a ticket for the whole thing. It's only €35. So
we wouldn't
bother breaking up the event, except for the choir.
Right.
That's a standalone event.
Okay.
And that's €50.
Gotcha.
Now they normally.
That's cheap.
It's very cheap.
They normally charge
€25-30.
Oh, yeah, easily.
So it's a wonderful chance. So the answer to your question is yes, one ticket for €35 covers everything.
Yeah.
But you can come to the choir alone, anybody not attending the rest, for €15.
I mean, that's crazy.
Our website and our email and our number and that will be all over the place. I can give them out on the programme now if you want.
Yeah, far away.
Yeah, well, okay. The main email would be DublinNorthBayTourism@gmail.com. That's DublinNorthBayTourism@gmail.com. You'll get us always on that. There will be, you know, we have a few phone numbers. I'll give up one now.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, well, for overseas, it would be 353. So
yeah,
it could be 086-236-4829. And it will be all online. It'll be advertised widely. And as I say, I wouldn't like anybody to see it exclusive. I don't like the word exclusive.
No, I know.
It's all in. To me, community is community.
Yeah.
And we really, really want it to develop into a community event annually.
Yeah.
And, you know, while I'm talking about that, the Merino area in Dublin, which is where we are, and we're doing a walk on the Sunday, that area is this year celebrating its centenary, in the sense that after Irish independence, the Merino area, and it's a very unique area. If you see an aerial shot of Merino, the houses are there are green circles.
Right. Okay.
And it was known as the Garden City, and it was the first estate built by the Irish Free State to clear the city slums.
Mm.
And that happened 100 years ago. So they are celebrating their centenary this year.
And
they'll be part of our summer school and the whole programme as well.
That's incredible. Well, thanks so much for coming in, Dennis. As I said, like it sounds like the programme sounds absolutely incredible. It's so diverse as well. There's so many different things going on.